It is January 28th, and you're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, and it's time we started calling the shots. They can lock us out, they can lock us up. We cannot give in. No more lies, no compromise. We'll battle till we win. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. They talk flexibility.
War on the workers.
Every worker stiff can see.
War on the workers.
Now when they poison your water.
War on the workers.
Don't pull like lambs through the slaughter.
War on the workers.
And when they foul up the air.
War on the workers.
You gotta show that you care.
War on the workers.
When they talk WTO.
War on the workers.
You best be screaming hell no.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. It's a war on public education. It's a war on child labor protection. It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now. I said it's time we started calling the shots.
Yes, Ann Feeney, it is time we started calling the shot. Good morning. This is the Brain Labor Report. I'm Jason Hauk, your guest host for today. Now, news on the streets is looking a little dismal. Reading the news yesterday and today and reading about all the layoffs nationwide, and we've got an unemployment rate that's creeping up towards 10%. Makes folks wonder what's going to happen and how's this going to affect the working class. And I hope this show, the Brain Labor Report, is a little beacon of hope where we bring you the stories of the working class. We bring you the news and hopefully some a little bit of inspiration about some of the struggles and some of the successes that we're having. We come to you Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. from KSKQ, your community radio station here in Ashland, Oregon. We're also syndicated live over the internet at www.kskq.org, and we've got a website too, kskq.org/BLR. That'll get you there to the archives of the Brain Labor Report. We come to you every morning with news and interviews, and we also play a little bit of labor music to get your day started. And this being like every other day, we'll go ahead and get started with the Workers Independent News. That's 3 minutes of cutting-edge news out of Madison, Wisconsin. This is syndicated daily, and we are the only Southern Oregon radio station that carries this content. So, for January 28th, 2009, this is the Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. For the first time since the Labor Department began keeping track in 1976, the unemployment rate increased in every state of the union during the month of December. Jesse Russell reports.
The two hardest hit states continue to be Michigan and Rhode Island. Both states have broken double digits in their unemployment rates. Michigan is on top at 10.6%, and the state, hit hard by dragging auto industry sales, is likely to see those numbers continue creeping up after January, with GM announcing more layoffs on Monday. Rhode Island has watched its unemployment rate nearly double since the same time last year. In December 2007, the New England state had an unemployment rate of 5.2%, and at the end of December 2008, that rate was 10%. Eight states saw a month-over-month percentage leap of more than 1%. Forbes.com has been keeping a running tally of layoffs at America's top 500 largest companies. As of 4 p.m. on Tuesday, the month of January had seen 138,252 layoff announcements. That already puts January well above layoff announcements in December of 2008. According to Forbes, the top 500 companies in the U.S. slashed 108,000 jobs that month. Four states have insolvent unemployment trust funds, with 13 states saying their funds are at major risk phase.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid told the Las Vegas Sun that a vote on the Employee Free Choice Act labor law reform is likely this summer. The labor law reform is a top priority for labor and is strongly opposed by business interests. It makes it easier for workers to form unions free of employer intimidation by just signing union cards. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says passage of the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act will make a real difference in workers' lives. The bill makes it easier for workers suffering pay discrimination to legally press their cases. Sweeney says it helps ensure fairness and equality in the workplace. The AFL-CIO is urging President Obama to sign it into law quickly. United Healthcare Workers West says the trusteeship papers were served on it by SEIU International on Tuesday. The Big California California Healthcare Workers Local is in a dispute with SEIU International over reorganization of the local. SEIU International wants to move 65,000 workers out of UHW into another local. UHW leaders and the rank-and-file workers in that union say that these workers should be able to vote on whether they want to be part of another local or to remain within UHW under their own locally elected leadership. Finally, an economist has an idea that nearly every worker can get behind. Economist Dean Baker says shortening work weeks should be part of the economic stimulus package. Businesses could get stimulus tax incentives to cover the cost of providing extra paid vacation and sick leave to workers. Workers' compensation would stay the same, employer labor costs would not increase, and since workers would be working about 6% fewer hours per year, Baker says businesses would have an incentive to hire more workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. We're hoping to connect with Mr. Arthur Stimulus, who's the director of the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign. We're going to try to get him on the phone here in a few minutes. But before that, we're going to listen to Ann Feeney, who's going to tell us again, who does the work? Who does the work? We do the work. Here we go.
Love the ship, we run the land. We
All right, that was Ann Feeney's We Do the Work, and we do the work. And here is a, we're going to have a gentleman who's going to come on the phone right now and tell us about some of those stories of the working class. Here we've got, again, a return guest on the Brain Labor Report, Mr. Arthur Stimulus, director of the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign. Mr. Arthur Stimulus, we have you, I believe.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jason.
Hey, thanks. Glad you could be a guest. Like I said, we've had you on a couple times, and it's always good to talk to you. You're the man to talk about trade issues, so I'm glad we have you on the phone, and maybe you could tell us what's going on in the area of fair trade.
Sure. Well, you know, we've got a new administration,
Yay.
A new Congress, a new year, and it remains to be seen whether we're going to get a new trade policy out of it. I think voters in the last election spoke up very loudly and clearly in particularly congressional races all throughout the country, but also in the presidential election, that business as usual on trade is something that we're not going to put up with. We've seen these trade agreements ship millions of American jobs overseas. We estimate here in Oregon over 75,000 jobs lost. For folks, whose jobs might not be susceptible, to offshoring, we're still having this huge downward pressure on wages and benefits for everyone caused when, millions of people are put out of work competing for the same handful of jobs that are left. And voters spoke up, very loudly and clearly that they've had enough of this. We got a lot of promises out of a lot of different politicians that they were going to support trade here in Oregon. Senator Jeff Merkley basically ran on trade as, his number one issue in his campaign commercials and in his campaign. And, it's 2009. We got new folks in there, and we got to make sure that we're still holding their feet to the fire. The other side, the corporate interests that benefit from exploiting, sweatshop labor, weak environmental regulations overseas, they're pushing, these politicians very hard to ignore their campaign promises, to focus on other things, and we need to be working just as hard to make sure they live up to what they promised their constituents and what needs to happen to fix this country's economy.
Well, that's great to hear. We do have a new administration, and I think you're right when you say he does have a clear mandate on a lot of these issues, and trade was one that I think got a lot of attention during the election. And also, my worry is that in practice that the Republicans will really try to fight him tooth and nail, and that with this recession depression we're coming into, that folks are going to want to compromise on things like on trade, on the environmental protections and things. But I do feel that it really means that we need to redouble our own efforts to let our elected officials know where we want them to stand on these issues.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, Republicans are going to be fighting hard to make, only minor changes to our trading system. I think there are a lot of free trade Democrats still in Congress, unfortunately, who will be pushing just as hard as their Republican brethren. And certainly the corporations who have been benefiting from this all along will continue to push for business as usual. But, this concept that with the economy the way it is, we can't be changing our trade policies is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, we're hemorrhaging jobs year after year after year. And, we've got proposals now to stimulate the economy, to get consumers spending again. The best way to get consumers spending again is to make sure they have secure jobs and good wages and benefits. And that's not going to happen without a change to our trade policies. Another piece of this puzzle that most people don't realize is the impact that trade agreements have had on deregulation in the financial markets. It's pretty easy to get into the weeds very quickly here, but the WTO, the World Trade Organization's General Agreement on Trade and Services, specifically required that we deregulate all our major banking regulations, particularly the Graham-Steagall Act, otherwise known as the Banking Act of 1933, which had formally separated commercial banks, what people think of as normal banks, where you make deposits and then they use that money to make out loans. And these investment banks that are speculating in derivatives and all sorts of other things. And, you know, prior to the 1990s, from the Depression on, you know, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, that worked very well for this country. Come the 90s, the Clinton administration got in there. They signed a trade agreement that said, okay, we're going to get rid of those regulations so that foreign banks and foreign investment firms that don't separate out, you know, the speculative investment side, the commercial, you know, regular banking side, will come in and completely deregulate our banking system. And now we've got these mega banks where people's regular money and banks that, you know, make out loans, things that you need to have a functioning, healthy economy, are tied up with these banks that have been speculating and basically just involved in the casino capitalism, where they're spending, you know, billions and billions and billions, sometimes trillions of dollars on things, you know, just on paper. They aren't real assets. And when that speculation, you know, inevitably fails, you know, when somebody loses that trillion-dollar bet, well, now our real banks, our commercial banks, our, you know, our deposits, our ability to take out loans, well, that's tied in with that now.
Right, yeah.
It's a direct result of our trade agreements, once again. So there's a lot of change that needs to be made. One of the things I'm hopeful about, you know, not only did a lot of politicians promise trade, not only are folks in other countries fighting very hard to change our trading systems right now, but there's a great piece of legislation that was introduced last year. I think some of your listeners may already be aware of it. It's called the Trade Act. Trade standing for Trade Reform, Accountability, Development, and Employment, the Trade Act. And that was first introduced last year. It had the support of labor groups, environmental groups, family farm organizations, consumer groups. And that really laid out a path for what future trade agreements should look like and how we can go about renegotiating or getting rid of our existing trade deals like NAFTA, CAFTA, and the WTO. And I'm really hopeful that our elected officials will support the Trade Act and use that as a model for moving forward, and also that listeners will get involved in educating their elected officials about how important the Trade Act really is.
Certainly, yeah, and that is a challenge for us because the issues of trade are, at least in my opinion, that the general public are not really highly informed about. We hear about, you know, NAFTA and CAFTA and all of these trade agreements, and that are, they sound good in name, but in practice have really done horrible things to our economy, to the economies of the other countries. And turning it around, it's good to hear that there is actually some legislation we can get behind this this Trade Act, which seems to be aptly named. We're talking with Arthur Stimulis. This is the Brain Labor Report on KSKQ. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the thing I was going to say is I think most people, if they know anything about what a trade agreement actually does, you know, what it actually requires is that it requires reductions in tariffs, you know, the taxes placed on imports at the border. And clearly, you know, over the past 15 years of the NAFTA era, we've seen that reducing tariffs between rich developed countries like the United States and developing countries like Mexico, China, you know, other countries throughout the world, well, that the main thing that does is it makes it easier for large corporations to shift jobs around the globe to wherever labor is the most exploited, wherever regulations are the weakest. We've seen that. You know, we have been hemorrhaging jobs. But our trade deals are actually thousands of pages long, and modern trade agreements cover far, far more than just, you know, tariffs and quotas. They cover public procurement policy, you know, financial market regulations, environmental regulations, food safety regulations, agricultural policy, procurement policy, you name it. And the Trade Act addresses all those things. I mean, it's got provisions in there that will help protect American workers and small businesses from having to compete directly with sweatshops overseas. It's got provisions that protect workers in developing countries from having to compete with you know, subsidized agricultural products from the United States, which is very, very important if we want to see other countries ever develop. They've got provisions in there that let us put back environmental regulations, put back financial regulations that have already been removed under the WTO and other trade deals. So this is an important bill. It's a far-reaching bill. And I think most people in Congress, well, I won't say most people, but a lot of people, a growing number of people, are starting to realize that this comprehensive reform is what's really needed. You know, you can't just add a couple of superficial labor and environmental standards to the NAFTA model and all of a sudden think you have a fair trade agreement. We really need fundamental change, fundamental reform to replace these bad trade deals, and that's what the Trade Act offers.
Wow, fundamental reform. That's good to know, and then it sounds like a good bill to get behind and to try to get some traction among our elected officials. So, let me see. I also know that that the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign is working on this and other issues too, trying to bring attention to the Oregon public and to the American public about these issues.
And, we've just launched a new website with other fair trade coalitions throughout the country called TradeStories.org, and the purpose of that site is it comes out of the realization that for at least the past 15 years, if not for decades longer, our trade policy debates have been dominated by corporate lobbyists, by economic ideologues, and the voices of ordinary Americans have been completely left out. So we created the website www.tradestory.org to allow people whose jobs have been shipped overseas, farmers who've had to compete with low-priced imports, immigrants who were displaced from their homelands due to NAFTA, and others to share their stories, to let their voices be heard. Right now, the website features a story of a woman from Presque Isle, Maine, lives in a mill town that's been building a new school that's now worried that there won't be any kids left to go to that new school because everybody's moving because there are no jobs left because they've all been displaced by new imports. And so TradeStories.org is a place for people to visit, to share their stories about how they've seen trade impact their lives and their communities. But it's also a place where you can learn more about legislation like the Trade Act, where you can write to your elected officials, you can submit letters to the editor online. And I think it's going to be a great resource for people, and I strongly encourage people to visit it and to share their stories on it.
Yeah, that sounds like a good resource. And I know that the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign has been collecting stories of the workers for a little while now, and this, I guess, is a area where they can be viewed. And I think that using tools like the internet and different types of social networking things to get these stories out are really, really helpful. It surprises me how talking with folks and how little that we as Americans kind of know our own history, and that things like the 8-hour day and the 40-hour work week and things like safety in the workplace and things that protect us, protect the consumers too, protect them from adulterated products or substandard working conditions are all been earned through the struggles of labor and through legislation, and how quickly that some legislation can happen in the 90s, and here it is 10 years later, and we're really suffering. We've really kind of gone backwards in a sense as far as some of those protections. But
well, that's absolutely right. And the other piece of that is that we're often encouraged to believe that you need to have an economics PhD or, an MBA to have any educated opinions on the economy. We've got this financial crisis going on right now that's very big, that's very scary. And we're being encouraged to believe that this is just, too complicated for ordinary people to even comprehend. But that's not true. I mean, I'm a strong believer that by, looking at the experiences in your own lives, by talking to neighbors, to people in your community, you can get a pretty good grip on how well the economy is or isn't working, and that those types of personal observations are a perfectly legitimate way of, making decisions about what needs to happen, what needs to change. And this idea that, you know, we need experts to come in here and save us, and that, you know, we can't trust our own experiences and our own observations about what's going around, what's going on around us. I mean, that's something that I believe, you know, corporate powers and politicians do very intentionally to try to keep people out of the debate so that they can dominate it. And that's what we've got to change. You know, TradeStories.org is one of the tools we've created to try to do that. But people need to get involved, and people need to really trust in their own knowledge, you know, and not be so trusting, you know, what people in power are telling us.
Right, right. You're absolutely right there. And I think that with this, well, I think one of come full circle here back to this Obama, the new administration, and his really a call to action to the working class, to everybody, and permission. It's not, you know, we can't really sit back and wait for a white knight or a black knight to come and save us. We really have to take the initiative. And now we've been empowered to take this struggle a little further. And we've got legislation like this Trade Act, and things like the Employee Free Choice Act, which could go a long way to allowing folks to organize. I think these can go a long way to reuniting the working class, because we are all in it together, and to united we can solve these problems. Mr. Arthur Stamoulis, we've got less than a minute left, so I wanted to thank you personally for being on the show again and giving us some good news, some good legislation to be watching for. If there's anything you want to say in the next 30 seconds to get us off the air here, that'd be great.
Well, just thank you so much, Jason. I mean, this show is a fantastic resource for Southern Oregon. I know people are listening to it on the internet far beyond. And I would just, you know, again, encourage people to visit www.tradestories.org, share your story, and write your elected officials in support of the Trade Act. This is a great opportunity to actually change our trading system. And, you know, if we're not doing it now, when are we going to do it?
You're absolutely right. Thank you, Arthur. And we'll be talking to you very soon. We'll be back with Wes. We'll be, I believe, in the studio tomorrow. We've got a great guest with a wonderful author who's going to talk about the Ludlow Massacre. So we'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Violence sparks on the Israeli-Gaza border. We'll take a look at how far the proposed stimulus package will directly help the